Welcome to Another Day Above Ground, a show for, by, and about baby boomers. It's the podcast for people who have no idea how to download a podcast. And now, here's your host, Dale Irvin.
All right, thank you, Farad, and thank you, baby boomers everywhere. This is the show that we love to bring to you. Three baby boomers bringing the message of growing older to all baby boomers. And when I say three, of course, I'm including my two partners. First of all, from the mile high city of Denver, Colorado, please welcome the lovely and talented Carolyn Strauss.
Well, hey, everybody. I had an experience this week that I want to share with you guys. I was at a conference exploring the possibility of working with them next year. So I attended the conference in the Midwest. And I got there and I don't think I can deal with 20-somethings. It was mostly, you know, late teens, early 20s people. And I said something that was so politically incorrect, apparently, that three students went to the head of the organization and said, oh, she said that to us, and they're not going to hire me next year. It wasn't in public. It was in a small group of people. But I'm sorry. I hate the term snowflake, but just melt already. I'm just pissed.
Is that what you use, snowflake?
No. What I said was I was talking to somebody and I said, well, I probably can't say that because that's probably politically incorrect BS. And I use the real words for BS. I said, that's probably considered politically incorrect BS. And they went to mommy to tell her that I called.
They called you out on bullshit?
Uh-huh.
That's ridiculous. I wouldn't want to work for those people.
No, wow. I just had to cut that out of the edit there, Dale.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's a regular word that people use. They use it on the farm all the time. Even Shakespeare used it, you know.
So
what were they talking about that was politically incorrect BS?
Well, I actually, one of the women was kind of brilliant, and I called her a cyber legal ninja because she was brilliant.
Uh-huh.
And I said, but that's probably not okay because it's probably politically incorrect. Part of this politically incorrect BS. And I don't know. I was trying to be funny. And apparently I can't be funny around 20-somethings because they don't have a sense of humor right now. And I don't know what to do about that.
No, tell me about it.
Yeah, no, right? they don't laugh. They don't laugh.
Right. I don't understand. This is so sad. I was way funny in my 20s.
It reminds me. There's the old joke. How many feminists does it take to change a light bulb? That's not funny. In. how many college girls does it take to change a light bulb?
I don't know.
First of all, they're not girls, they're women. And it's still not funny.
Right. That's exactly right. I can't do it.
A friend of mine, she said, you know, I always thought that people retired because they got old. And they retired because they were tired? She goes, no, I think people retired because they can't stand young people anymore.
Those words of wisdom, by the way, are coming from the Aristotle of comedy, our third partner from the state of Indiana, Tim Slagle.
Yeah, that's. I didn't have a joke anyway, so that's fine.
Oh, that's
perfect. But I am sad. I am really sad. And then, so the organizer said to me, Carolyn, we can't bring you in because, you know, we had three complaints by our members, and we create a very safe space for them.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh my goodness.
Did you tell them to kiss your Putin?
Yeah, no, I aced myself out of the college circuit 30 years ago for essentially the same reason as I did a show at Wellesley, and that was the end of my college career.
Yeah, you at Wellesley, I don't even know, 30 years ago it would have been okay.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
I guarantee it wasn't.
This is hard. I don't know what's happening to people. I don't know where everybody's sense of humor is and where everybody got so sensitive. It's like, suck it up, Buttercup. Just like deal with it. I'm sorry.
And those are the words of wisdom from Carolyn this week. Suck it up, Buttercup. And that's a phrase that pays. Well, one of the concerns I think we have as baby boomers is that we're getting to the point where, first of all, nobody listens to us. You know, the kids, the grandkids, they don't listen to us. And we're starting to think, well, maybe our time is come and gone. Maybe we're just, you know, sitting around waiting to die. But that's not necessarily true. And we wanted to find an expert, as we always do, on the topic of learning how to get the most out of your final years. And we found Kathleen Sinclair. And Kathleen wrote a book all about aging. And let me see if I can best describe it without actually giving you the title. The title of the book is Expletive Deleted Aging. Now, the expletive that's been deleted begins with an F and ends with a K, and it's not fire truck. So, you know, you can figure, so it could be a coitus aging or anything like that. But you get the thing. And Kathleen, thank you very much. And, you know, is it all spelled out on the book cover when people go to buy your book?
Yes, it is, dear. What it is the book cover illustrator did it really interestingly. She put the F in one corner, another letter, and the K in the last corner. So we don't want to shock anybody, you know, by saying it. So, and then in the middle, I mean, just for some reason, I'm giving the middle finger. I mean, I have no idea how that happened, but anyway, that's the
cut
deal.
Cut off in traffic, apparently.
And it's red and black and shiny, so that when you see it across the room, you know, it's not going to be a book of poetry. It's going to be something that you go, oh, what the heck, you know? Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. Oh, my gosh. So that's what's happening.
It should be a great back of the room sales when you speak at churches and stuff. I can imagine
the back
that.
Of the room, you know, that's
perfect
it.
Gift for grandma.
Yeah, that's right.
I can't wait to read it on an airplane. This will be fun.
Oh, my God, honey. You will just have to kind of shove it in between your laptop or something.
She's used to that.
But you know, I have had quite a few people not in my age category, which I sort of define as people 60 and over, maybe 50, I don't know, but who said to me, Dale, that they will give it to their parent or their grandparent. So that's an interesting thing. You know, that's one way it gets out.
Well, I remember watching with my mom. When she was older, she wanted to watch a movie, and at that time, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles came out. I figured, what a great vanilla comedy to come out, until the rental car scene came up.
Yeah. Did you cover your mom's eyes, you know? Yeah, right.
Sure. So tell us, Kathleen, what's the spin on your book? Why? How can people use up their time or whatever?
Well, it's an interesting concept, because we go through the first part of our life. Things are kind of laid out for us. First of all, we just grow up and we go to school and we're told what to do. And maybe we go to college. Maybe we don't. We get a job. We have a house. Maybe we get married. Maybe we have kids. So it's kind of defined for us. And then we reach age 60, and there's no real definition. Retirement's kind of a funny word. It doesn't even exist in the Japanese language, but it's
is that for real or is that a joke?
Retirement from work does not exist in the Japanese language.
Wow.
Neither does mayonnaise.
That's yeah.
Mayonnaise,
that's right. On top of retirement in the, you know, on the bread part. But so what became clear to me was that we are living longer as a society, and I go into a lot of that stuff, a lot of detail crap, but we are living longer, and it seems to me that we are at a time when we have all of our smarts. We've worked the hell out of our life. We've worked a long time. We've gathered skills, experiences, so on, and now they say, okay, well, stop. Don't do anything with that. And I just thought that was really not a good thing to happen to 20% of the population. It's not quite there yet, but it will be in a few years, of people over 60. So one out of five people, that's a huge human resource to waste. So basically, I started looking at these things when I was 60, but I didn't have a purpose then. I just thought, I really want to do something with my life. I really want to do something. What do? I went in the Peace Corps. I got a master's. I traveled around the world for a year. I did mediation. And, you know, all it did stuff, but it wasn't with a purpose. And it wasn't until I figured out my purpose that all of a sudden there was clarity. And now, okay, this is what your purpose is. This is what you need to do. So my purpose was to ignite people over 60 to live a brilliant second half of life. And writing the book was one way to do that. Speaking to people will be another, coming on your podcast. So that's kind of where I am with it, is that
I see it as
a great resource. You know? So no, there you go.
But what in your book, what do you recommend for, you know, the average old person to do?
We are not old people. Stop calling us that. I resent
that's right.
that.
You have to shift your vocabulary just a little bit in here. But
sorry, geezers. I'm sorry.
Hey,
that's right. Whatever.
Go geezer yourself, bud. That is not us.
I'm sorry. You can pick out whatever one you want.
You know, I go through a bunch of steps, and there are these action steps that you take, and so on. And you can either, I recommend people look at the read the introduction, the conclusion, and the table of contents, and decide, okay, what might interest me, and then
that's
maybe
the
go
way
to
I always
step.
Read a book before the test.
Oh, there you go. That's right. I know. It's true. Me too. Maybe that's why I thought that. And sometimes I didn't even read the book after that. You know, I just read that.
Well,
so,
no, the test is tomorrow. That's all I have time to read.
That's it. But the thing is that you, I think you have to look at yourself first in an honest way. And you have to say, okay, well, where am I right now? No criticism. People criticize the hell out of themselves. They just don't do that. Don't do that to yourself. Just look at where you are right now, and then where would you like to be? And then figure out, okay, this is where I am now. How do I get there? And that has to do with your relationships, with your house, with you, with your family, with whatever you're doing, if you're still working or you just became an entrepreneur or whatever it is. So you need to take the time to figure things out, and then you need to set a plan. And I have these exercises that you go through. And what I'm hoping will happen is people will go, well, that's a bunch of crap. I can do that a lot better because I'm just one person. And the brilliance of people is already there. So what I'm hoping to do is just kind of switch on, you know, switch something on, and they'll go, oh, okay, I could do that. Or that sounds interesting or whatever. So it's one of those things where I tell a lot of stories about myself because I'm the only one I can tell stories about. And then I give a lot of examples from other people that I have read about and been introduced to and so on. So that's the book mainly is a wake-up call for people over 60 to realize that the world needs them more than ever right now, and that they have a lot to offer, and that it starts with them. That's it.
See, I have made my plan. I want to live to 100 and then be shot by a jealous husband. That's
there
my
you go.
Plan right
I there. Think it's fabulous. And the thing is that you got, I mean, you're my role models, you know? I mean, I don't know. It's just the people I've met, and they triggered for me to write this book because I traveled all over the world talking to people. I love to travel, but it was so interesting to me to meet people from different places and hear their story and then break my heart by saying, well, I don't know what to do now. I don't know what to do now with myself. You know, I have so much energy and I really don't know what to do. And that just, I thought, nah, that's not going to work. We need to meet each other and start getting together and do things.
I just figured out what we can call ourselves, Kathleen. You know how PMS kind of like followed us for 30 or 40 years.
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm PMS. I am a postmenopausal sister. So you just
go.
Call me PMS, babe.
PMS. That's it. You know
that's
what
right.
I mean?
Yep.
I like it. You know, one of the things I did was I bought a little caravan, 17 feet, just this little thing. And I had a Subaru Outback, and it was light enough to tow it. I got it up in Ottawa in Canada. And I traveled around in that until COVID hit for about a year and a half. And I met really, really interesting people doing that. But I can't tell you how it, you know, she was talking about the sister thing, is that people were amazed that I was this older woman traveling alone, hitching, unhitching, doing all the stuff, the plumbing, all that crap you have to do when you have a camper. And I thought, but then I ran into also a lot of women doing the same thing, older women. So it's a, you know, there are lots of people out there. You just have to kind of find them and tap into them and extract out of them their goodness so they wake up.
So were you like that movie where they, I forget what it was called.
I was just going to say, wasn't there a movie last year? Nomad. Yeah.
I didn't see Nomad. I love the actress. I really
Frances McDormand. You got to see
her. Oh, my God. She's so great. I loved her in Fargo. But I did not see that. That's what somebody asked me. Was that what life was like? No, I understand that was a little edgy, kind of sad. No, I was, mine was a happy experience. I planned to do it for a year. I did it for a year and a half, but it wasn't, I didn't have to do it. I wasn't forced to live like that. So it was a different, it was a choice thing for me. So I haven't seen the movie, but I will. And I do know a lot of people are in that situation. I mean, you see it every time you drive through a town somewhere. You see people on the side of the road or in the fields or somewhere. Yeah.
So what if you could give our listener a one tip about how to, you know, expletive aging. And I got a cure for that for your future radio interviews, because I've invented a new cuss word that is universal and fits everything.
Okay, I like it. I'm writing.
Putin.
Oh, I
Putin agent.
I
you
got
Putin
it.
Putin head, get out of here.
Yep.
Kick
I
you
got
in
it.
The
Putin sounds like the only thing you can eat after you lose your teeth.
That's right, but you need some teeth for that one. Well, one of the things is what your show does. I think you just really have to have a good sense of humor. You have to have a sense of humor about getting older. Because it's you start getting older when you're born, but we don't talk about it, or in the womb, actually, but we don't talk about it until a certain age. And when then we use getting older as kind of a negative thing. And so I think watch what you're saying about yourself, and make sure that you are telling the truth about it. Now, I think, Tim, you said something. Well, no, maybe it was Dale. Well, you called her a codger or something. Not an old codger, but a
geezer.
A geezer.
Gubber.
Like that. Yeah, blister. So, yeah,
and also you introduced that our grandchildren tend to ignore us or we're invisible or whatever. And it's really important that we don't fall into negativity, that we learn to, there's this word now called reframing, that we learn to look at what's happening and use words that are not so negative about it, that we use it as a learning experience. So that, because I've listened to a lot of really cranky, negative, older people, and I go, whoa, this life cannot be good for those people. And so it's about your attitude, and it's about what you expect. I mean, I think respect and comes not from age, comes from what you do, who you are in the world. And so I've heard a lot of people say, well, they just don't respect you. They expect to be respected just because they're older. And that might work for some societies, but I don't think that works in ours very well. It seems
not
to
when
be
it comes
that,
to finding a parking place.
That's
they'll
right.
cut you off in a second,
right.
Boy, I'll tell you that.
But it's ingrained in other societies, I think. I know I lived in Mexico for 3 years. It's the older people live with the families and so on. But I also think that
there's an idea. I could just go find a family and live with them.
That's right.
That's my plan.
That's right.
I forgot to make
right?
one, so I
and
can
and not
live
your
with
old
one.
Family, but a different family that would really appreciate you. You know,
that's brilliant. I think we should trade. I think you know, like we'll be trading, right?
Trade
grandparents.
No, trade a family.
Yes.
Yeah, I like it. Tree to family. I'm going to write that down.
Air family.
Yeah.
Hey, Kathleen, let me ask you something. Okay. So a lot of women that I know are, including me, never say our age. Like, I refuse to tell people how old I am. My answer, and Dale and Tim give me stuff about this all the time, I'm at least 49, which is absolutely true. And I will be at least 49 until my friend's kids are 49, and then I'll go up a few years. But I'm at least 49. Are you a proponent of saying how old we are as women, or are you more of a fan of it's none of anybody's business?
I don't think it's anybody's business, but I will tell you that if somebody asks me directly, I will answer them. And here's the deal. I felt just like you did for a long time. And I thought about it and I thought, you know, it's because society tells us it's not okay to be the age we are, that we're not supposed to have fun after a certain age, that we're supposed to just kind of just disappear. And so I thought, and that being younger was better and being older was worse. And so you try to be better and you work hard to be better and, you know, smooth out your skin and, you know, dye your hair. And so it's and then finally I realized it's nobody's business, but I'm okay with it. I'm okay with where I am. The truth is, the last thing I want to be is a teenager again. What a hog of crap that was. Oh, my God. Not good. So all that self-conscious crap.
I am the exact same age as Madonna. We were born on the exact same day. So this is what Madonna would look like if she didn't have any money.
That's right. And it's fine. You look great. I think you look great.
For 80, he's fabulous.
Yes.
And Carolyn, until you start fessing up and admitting your real age, no discounts for you.
I'm okay
you
with that.
You can't get your senior discount at 46.
I'm so okay with that, sweetie. But, I will pay full price to be younger. Heck yeah.
But the thing is what I wrote this in the introduction of my book because it's where the title came from. But it's real interesting to me, like if I'm on a mastermind or even with a group like this and somebody will say, oh, you don't look your age or you look good for your age or something like that. And I want to go, wait a minute. I know it's supposed to be a compliment, but I go, what the hell? You know, is there some kind of hologram over here that says when you reach a certain age, you're supposed to look like this? I mean, is it an actress? Is it your grandma? Is it your Aunt Susan? What do you mean you look good for you? What does that mean? And so it's so funny to me when because they think it's a compliment. They're saying it to you because they don't know how the hell to talk to you. So they're trying to break the ice. And I found also that in groups of people, often I'm the oldest person, they don't know how to talk to me. They don't know. They just don't know. They don't want to get old themselves. And they look at me. But then also they don't know, does she swear? You know, does she have tattoos? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. But they don't know that, you know. So it's kind of a squish. And that's our responsibility to make it easy for people. And
how do we do that?
Just by being yourself. Look at you guys. It's great. Look at this show you're doing. I just think it's amazing. I've never even heard of your show, and now I freaking love it.
You're not alone.
And you're going to tell all your friends about it?
I just love it. So
tell all your friends about it, right?
I will.
Okay.
I will. All two of them. So
that's our problem. Everybody's
dead. That'll
double
our listenership.
But the thing is, just try to – I mean – I don't know. I have friends that are 14 and I have friends that are 100 and I have friends in between and I do different things and have different interests with different people. And so it's, I don't know where you guys live, but I probably wouldn't live in an over 55 community. And because I want people of all ages around me, you know, I want young people and people with riding motorcycles and stupid people and, you know, Putin people. And I want everybody around me. So
I'm
guessing we don't know where you live either, but just off the top of my head, I'm guessing San Francisco.
No, honey, I'm actually in Florida right now, but I'm from Oregon.
What was those clanging of the bells? What was that? Sounds like a cable car.
That was the market closing. It's on in the background.
Oh, okay. I thought somebody just got knocked out.
I do a lot of trading, and so I've watched the You know, I'm watching the market all the time. I'm sorry, dear. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. No, I just all of a sudden I heard that. I'm going, what? She's got to be right by the cable car track.
So that must mean it's 4 o'clock. Yeah, it's 4 o'clock Eastern. Are you guys all in Colorado?
No.
No, Carolyn's in Colorado. I'm in Chicago. Tim is in Indiana.
Okay. Okay.
You're not in Chicago.
I'm not. I'm in suburban Chicago.
Yeah, I'm just as close to downtown
Chicago
as you are.
Indiana.
I got it. Okay. Well, anyway, I'm in Florida right now at my daughter's house. I was in Mexico for a year, and I don't know where she got in a depression thing and just wanted me to come and help her out for a little bit. So I'm here, and then I don't know what I'll do after that. But I'm from Oregon. Yeah.
You still have your house in Oregon?
No, I don't, honey. I don't have a house in Oregon.
Did you sell your house when you got the trailer and started traveling?
Let's see. No, I lived in Mexico for 3 years and I sold the house before then. So I lived in Mexico. I left to travel that year and a half. I went from Mexico to Canada to pick up the caravan. Then I traveled and did all that. And then I went back to Mexico for a little bit to finish the book. And so I finished the book in August, and it just takes that long to get through publishing and editing and cover and all that stuff that they do with the book. So, yeah.
Well, when our listeners hear this, the book is already in the bookstores.
That's right.
Once again, Kathleen Sinclair, and the name of the book is whatever word you described to put in the front, aging. So you can get Putin aging, F aging, F
fire truck aging,
K aging. You get the picture, folks. It's what, you know, it's like coitus. It's what you do and when you're not happy that you're aging, which ironically, you don't do anymore when you're aging. So
speak for yourself, bud. You're married.
Yeah. Now, Dale, listen, the great thing is that I know it'll be in the bookstores, but also for a week, Amazon is letting me sell it for 99 cents. I'm a no-name author, so they don't let me sell it for longer than a week. But that would be the time to, you know, pick it up if you're an e-reader person.
So yeah, I am. Okay.
Yeah, me too.
Get it on Amazon for your Kindle at 99 cents.
Yep. And then you can reach me at KathleenSinclair.com if you want to talk more. Write to me.
Answered my question before I even asked it. KathleenSinclair.com. Thank you so very much. Good luck with your book. And maybe you'll get a series of books out of there for, like, right. I'd suggest, you know, expletive millennials. And because we got a lot of material on that. So.
Oh, I love it. That's great. Okay. I also have a course that's on the website. I'll talk to you guys later. Take care.
Thank you very much, Kathleen.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. So we want to thank Kathleen Sinclair for telling us how we can expletive aging. And I think it comes a time when we all feel that way and we all want to do that. So go out and pick up her book on that. Other than that, folks, we have pretty much run out of time for this session. So, Carolyn, any last words for the folks?
Well, there were a couple of thoughts when you just said that. I'm like, don't say to baby boomers we're running out of time. That's bad. that made me very uncomfortable. And I am all about the title of her book because I've been saying that for years. My dad used to say, aging is not for the young. He's like, it is not easy. So
it's for
I'm
wine
right there.
And cheese.
Yes. So that's it for me.
And Tim, how about you? Anything?
Just go to timslegel.com, find out where I'm going to be, what I'm doing, etc.
And if you go to daleirvin.com, you can sign up for their weekly Friday Funnies. Every Friday in your email, you will get a written and a video report of the odder stories in the news. That being said, go out and enjoy the day. You're not getting older, you're getting longer. I don't know what the other better. You're getting better. There it is. And go on. Have a great day today, because today is another day above ground.
And that's it for another day above ground. For Dale, Tim, and Carolyn, I'm Farad Muhammad. Thanks for listening.